In a few moments, we're going to worship in our giving. But before we do that, I'd like to lay a little foundation over the next few weeks around the principles of stewardship and what I call God's guarantee to those who give. God's guarantee to those who give. How many know we have a covenant with God? Let me see your hands. How many of you know we have a covenant with God? How many know that God has a covenant with you? God has a covenant with you. Say, God has a covenant with me. Come on, look at somebody and say, God has a covenant with me. God has a covenant with me. I absolutely believe that. And I'm endeavoring to live out of that reality, that he has a covenant. And it's part of that covenant that we have with God. It's a covenant, one, of blessing. It's a covenant of increase. It's a covenant of prosperity. And I know there are a lot that are doing teachings in the area of what they call prosperity messages. But I want to tell you that prosperity should be a part of your life as a believer. People should be able to look at your life and see a difference in your life because we operate out of kingdom principles. Say kingdom principles. For the next few Sundays in our time of giving, I'm going to spend some time talking about what we've identified as the four types of giving. And it came from a great teaching that Jesse Duplantis gave some years ago. And he identified four areas of giving. One was tithe, say tithe. Secondly, first fruits, say first fruits. Third, alms, say alms. And last, seed, say seed. And one of the things that he teaches as a principle is that if you will steward and give in these areas continually, eventually it will produce a continual harvest, a continual harvest. And so we've taught on this before, and in our teaching on it, I know that many of you have responded to it. And how many of you can testify, and I've seen a change in my life in the area of my finances. I've seen increase. I've seen God bring increase into my life. Now, I want to share with you that when I talk about increase, it's not just in the area of finances coming to you, but there's a number of ways that God brings increase to our lives and blesses us as a result of operating in these kingdom principles around finances and around giving. And so I want to start by reading a familiar passage of scripture in Malachi 3, 8 through 12. And then I want to talk a little bit about why he says what he says. And again, this is just kind of a small teaching to help us as we come into this year be more intentional in our giving. It's a familiar passage of scripture. A lot of people read it. Some don't like to hear it, but it is the word. In Matthew 3 and verse 8, it says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings." He says, "You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you." Then it says this in verse 10, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house." Say, food in my house. "So there may be food in my house, and test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows." King James says, pour out a blessing that you will not have room enough to receive. "Then I will rebuke the devourer for you," or for your sake, "so that it will not destroy the fruits of the ground, nor will the vine in the fields, nor will your vine in the fields cast its grapes, says the Lord of hosts. All the nations will call you blessed, for you shall be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts." When God speaks this, he's addressing something that has happened that's now impacting his covenant. It's impacting his covenant. It's affecting his follow-through on his word. See, in the scripture, when it talks about, I give you power to create wealth, does anybody know what else it says connected to that? So that my covenant will be established in the earth. The creation of the wealth, the establishing of the creation of wealth, or the power to get wealth, is connected to the fulfillment of his covenant. Does that make sense to you? Let me say it again. So the power to get wealth is connected to, so that I can establish my covenant in the earth. So what's the covenant that he's talking about? Now, in part, the covenant is the Abrahamic covenant. Then God says, "In all nations that come from Abraham will be blessed. Descendants of Abraham will be blessed." Anybody here a descendant of Abraham? Amen. If you don't know that, you are. If you're born again, you're a descendant of Abraham. Okay? And as a result of that, now, that's one aspect of what we believe for and press into. But there's another practical side of this covenant and why God speaks to them and says, "You have robbed me." So let me read a couple more scriptures here that hopefully will bring context here. Let me say this. Well, let me read this first. Genesis 14, 13 through 20. It's where Abraham gives a tithe to Melchizedek. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was a priest of God Most High. And he blessed him and said to him, "Blessed be Abraham of the Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered thine enemies into thy hand." And he gave him a tenth of all. Abram gave a tenth. Say a tenth. Now, the tithe, listen to me. The tithe is connected to God's economic system in his kingdom. In his kingdom. So we've heard it taught around tithing's not in the New Testament. Tithing's Old Testament. When you start going down that road, you don't understand kingdom. You don't understand kingdom. Remember I said this a week or so ago, that the kingdom has always been and will always be. It's eternal. The church came into existence on the day of Pentecost, okay? But God's economy, kingdom economy, is worked out, manifested through these principles that I'm talking to you about now. The tithe, the first fruit, the alms, and the seed. Those are kingdom economic principles. When you operate in those, it's not the church you're operating in, it's the kingdom that you're operating in. And God's return is not based on the church you go to. It's based on the kingdom you operate in and your awareness of that kingdom in operation. Is this making sense to you? When God brought them out of Egypt, he began to speak to them and say to them how that he would take care of them. So listen now, in Numbers 18, 21, it says this, "Then the Lord said to Aaron, 'You shall have no inheritance in their land, nor any portion among them.'" What he's saying is, when the land gets divided up, you're not going to get a portion like everybody else. He says, "I am your portion and your inheritance among the sons of Israel." He says, "I am your portion and your inheritance among the sons of Israel. To the sons of Levi, behold, I have given all the tithe of Israel for an inheritance in return for their service, which they perform the service of the tent of meeting." Now, the tent of meeting was a place that would be very similar to coming to church. The tent of meeting was the place where God showed up. Eventually, it became the tabernacle. The tabernacle of Moses, later on tabernacle of David. There was Solomon's temple. But what God identifies, and he says, now hear me, he says, you don't have to worry about being taken care of because you've chosen to take care of me. You've chosen to steward my presence and the place where I meet. He says, and so you don't have to worry about being taken care of. I'm your portion. I'm your inheritance. And all the others who will be meted out portions, they will give a tithe to you. You with me? So, all the others now give a tithe to the Levitical priesthood, to steward. Let me read one more passage for you. Deuteronomy 14, 22 through 29. And it says this. You shall surely tithe on the produce from what you sow, which comes out of the field every year. At the end of every third year, you shall bring out all the tithe of your produce in that year and shall deposit it in your town. Now, why would you do that? Here's what it says. The Levite, because he has no portion or inheritance among you, the alien, the orphan, and the widow who are in the town shall come and eat and be satisfied. He's saying, you bring the tithe of your produce, you deposit it in your town. And then he says this, because now what's he doing? He's honoring his covenant. He's honoring his promise. But the way that he does it is through collaboration. Say collaboration. Collaboration. He does it through collaboration. Meaning, now, God has purposed to partner with you and I. Now, could he do something miraculously like the manna from heaven? He could. But when they came into the promised land, when they came into increase, say increase. When they came into purpose, say purpose. When they came into destiny, say destiny. All of that changed. Because now they were going to need to be responsible for what God was giving them. Just as we have to be responsible for what God has given us. And what God is saying, or what God has done is said, I am establishing my kingdom economy. And you will be my partner in it, in that I've made a covenant with the Levitical priesthood. I've made a covenant to take care of the widow and the orphans, the poor. And I'm going to do it through you. That's why I give you power to create wealth, to establish my covenant in the earth. See, the covenant is for you to be rich. Although, if you live out the principles, resources are going to come to you in abundance, because the more you have, the more he can do through you. Anybody ever have the desire to want to do more but just don't have the resources? I prophesy that this year that's going to change for you. Now hear me, because I'm talking to all of us now. But it means you're going to have to live by these principles here. Because here's what God says. Okay, so let me read this again. You shall surely tithe all the produce from what you sow, which comes out of the field every year. Now, when a farmer plants, when he plants in a field, he plants more than he thinks going to come in, because if he only plants what he needs, good chance he won't have enough. But he sows over and above that, knowing that some of what he sows will not produce. Weather, climate, bad seed, sown in bad ground, a lot of different dynamics. But he sows at a level that when the harvest comes in, it's not just what he needs, but it's over and above. You understanding what I'm saying? God says here, and hear me, the Bible says, it is he who gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater. He's the one that gives seed to the sower. God is continually bringing and giving seed to you and I to sow. That when the harvest comes in, a tithe of that, now we're just talking about the tithe. Now, first fruits is something else, alms is something else, seed is something else. But we're talking about what he set in order here so that he can honor his covenant. Because he told the Levites, I'm going to take care of you. At the end of the third year, now I'm back in Deuteronomy 14, 22 through 29. At the end of the third year, you shall bring out all the tithe of your produce in that year, and you shall deposit it in your town. It goes into the storehouse. It says this, the Levite, because he has no portion or inheritance among you, meaning they do have a portion, they do have an inheritance, it's God himself. You have an portion. You have a portion. You have an inheritance. It's God himself. Amen. Hear me now. Hear me. Because it's not your job. It's not where you're employed. God is your source. God is my source. Amen. Amen. Oh, come on, y'all. Come on, y'all. Stay with me now. I guess this really is the message for today. Hear me now. Hear me now. Hear me now. It's great that you're employed. It's great that you have full-time employment and you have benefits and all those kind of things. But God is our portion and God is our source. Hear me now. Hear me now. Some of you are in an economic kind of place on your job where you get evaluated and they give you a raise. And that raise might be 2% or 1.5% or 3%. Whatever, those kind of things, okay? And thank God for the raises. But that's not all God has for you. That's not all God has for you. Not as a kingdom citizen. So we got to put a break through that kind of mindset, that kind of threshold. Because, hear me, because if he gives seed to the sower and bread to the one who eats, listen to me, God can bring resources to you in ways that's not a part of that 9-to-5 job you go to. You've just got to expand your thinking. You've got to expand your horizons and your expectations. Because if you have a desire to sow and give, and God, I want to be a part of what you're doing, but my paycheck only says this much, I'm telling you, every time you put that paycheck in the equation, God says, well, I can't do anything with you till you get that out of your head, that's the only way that I can supply for you. Because I will move around that to bring you into places of increase in your life so that you can be a part of what I'm doing in my kingdom. Not necessarily the church, but my kingdom. And so God is saying, he's saying, I made a covenant with the Levites. I made a commitment. The Levites, because they have no portion or inheritance among you, meaning they don't have any land and stuff, says, and the alien and the orphan and the widow who are in your town shall come and eat and be satisfied. Say satisfied. Y'all know what it means to eat till you're satisfied. Most eat past satisfied. But to eat till you're satisfied, meaning I just feel I got enough. This is what God says he wants to do. In order that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hand, which you do. So, going back to Malachi 3, this is what he's talking about. He's saying, I made a covenant. I'm a covenant-keeping God. I gave you land. I gave you property. I gave you land. But I told the Levites, because of their service to me and taking care of the tent of meeting, I told them that they wouldn't have to worry about anything. I told them that while others would receive a portion of land, and he says, as their inheritance, he says, but I told them, I'm going to be your inheritance. And I'm going to set up an economic system that causes you to always be blessed, to cause you to always have, not just for you, but so that you can take care of the orphan and the stranger and the widow, that you're able to take care of them, because that's what I intend to do, and I'm going to do it through you. But he says now, he says, I got an issue with you. You're robbing me. How are you robbing me? You ask. By your tithes, your offerings. He says, because when you have not given what I have determined for you to give, as my kingdom principle, then I cannot provide what should be provided to those who I made a covenant to. So God says, I'll just stop it all. No more increase. And what you do have, the devourer is going to eat that up. Why? Because he's saying, because I am serious about my word. I am serious about my covenant. And my covenant is that I will bless you to be a blessing to others. I will bring increase into your life over and above your need, so that you can respond to my voice. You can respond to my leading to give here, to sow here, to tithe into your storehouse, so that every need is met. And when you do that, he says, I will open up the windows of heaven. He's saying, now I'm going to bring the increase back, because you're going to steward it well. I'm going to bring the increase back, because you will allow it to go not only to you, but through you into the hands of those who I have purposed to bless. Amen. Amen. And then he says, and I will rebuke the devourer. What's he saying there? You ever be in a season of life where you just feel like you don't have the resources to tithe or to really sow and give, so you really kind of hold on to what you have, and then it really starts to feel like it really isn't enough, because the devourer starts coming in and just kind of touching stuff. Appliance breaks down. Car stops running. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I remember them days. God speaks to you to do something, but you say, I can't afford to do that. And next thing you know, you afforded it anyway, because the money went somewhere else. So here's the thing. This year has the potential to be your greatest year financially. This year is going to be my greatest year financially. I'm just taking it up a notch here because nobody responded to that last thing I just said. So y'all must be doing pretty good. Come on, y'all. Come on. Eric, where are you at? Play something, man. Come on. Hit that. Go to C for me. No, go to D flat. Hallelujah. No. Go to A flat. Yeah, I can feel. Yeah. Yeah, I feel like a little joyful expectation needs to be up in here right about now. Are y'all hearing me? Come on, stay with me. This is not, I don't have to qualify what I'm saying. I know what I'm saying is right where it needs to be. Thank you for clapping. Thank you for clapping. See, I know the times when I haven't been consistent. Times hard, trying to feed kids. So you just can't, you know, it's like tithing, man, that just seems like, but God, you know I need groceries. God, you know I need this, you know I need that. But out of that commitment, it's a kingdom principle. Out of that principle and that commitment, I'm talking about tithing. It's God's way of adding to his storehouse in order to establish, not only establish, but honor his covenant. So I want to encourage, no, I don't want to encourage us. This is going to be our year of renewed commitment to tithing.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
Now let's just take a moment and get really free and get really shored up. If you've had any challenge in tithing, you've wanted to, but it just seemed like your mind telling you, your heart was like tied, your mind said you better not. I mean, just all kind of stuff. This bill over here hollering at you, this situation over here hollering at you. If you've been challenged in any way in the area of tithing, just raise your hand right where you're at right now. Come on, just be honest. All right, that's good. I see your hands. You can put your hands down. I'm not going to make you stand up. But we're going to pray right now, and we're going to settle that in your lives and hopefully for anybody else who's been feeling anxiety, because this is God's kingdom economy. We're going to give in a few moments, but this is a day to shore up these areas. This is the month to shore up these areas. Because I'm going to say it again. For some of you, this is going to be your year of financial increase like never before.
My year. Hallelujah.
Think about this. Think about it. God is only asking you for 1/10. But here's what God knew about the 1/10. He's God. He's telling the Levitical priesthood, I got y'all. Y'all going to be taken care of. Everybody else, I just need y'all to tithe. Tithe and give offering, tithe, give first fruits, give alms, give seeds, all gonna be taken care of. And here's God's commitment. And to all of you that I'm asking to do that, I'm gonna bless you immensely. It says, I will open the windows of heaven and pour out blessing. You will not have room enough to receive. Saying, I'm gonna bless you so much, it's gonna be an inconvenience.
Yes.
Anybody wanna be inconveniently blessed?
Hallelujah. Amen.
Anybody want to be inconveniently blessed?
Hallelujah.
I'm telling you where it starts, folks. It starts with us making the commitment and says, God, I'm going to honor you first. And he's saying, all I need is 10%. Because the way I'm going to bless, that 10% is going to be a good amount.
Amen. Amen.
So all the Levitical priesthood, he's saying, I got y'all covered. widows and orphans, and I got all y'all covered. Because my people
all right.
are a tithing people. And I'm going to bring increase to them so much so that they will not have... You have to build new storehouses to put it in. You have to build new silos to store it in. And they will honor the commitment of the tithe that allows me to honor my covenant with you. Now I'm talking kingdom. Now hear me. What I'm talking about is kingdom. It's kingdom. It's kingdom. It's kingdom. It's kingdom. That's why, hear me, that's why in the establishing of the church where it says they had all things common, listen to me, they were operating out of kingdom, not out of church. They were operating out of kingdom, not out of church. That's why every need was met.
Amen.
Because they operated out of kingdom, not out of church. And the key is this, to just start where you're at. 10%. You make $100, you just set aside 10. Now the challenge is, the more you make, sometimes the harder it can get. Because you start thinking that money could go somewhere else. But you got to stay with the principle.
Amen.
Because the increase is coming to your life because you're honoring the principle. The moment you start thinking this is too much to give, you're in trouble. Because God wants to move in your life in such a way that you start with the 10 and give the 1, that you move to the 100 and give the 10, you move to the 1,000 and give the 100, you move to the 10,000 and give the 1,000, you move to the 100,000 and you give the 10,000, you move to the 1 million. You don't have a problem giving. Anybody want to be in that bracket?
Hallelujah.
That 100,000 bracket.
Hallelujah.
See, I want to give us a balanced mindset of it. It isn't tithe so you can be rich. That's where we've missed it. It's tithe so that God knows I can use you to honor my covenant. I'll bring increase into your life. I'll give you the power to create wealth. It won't be just your job. I'll give you a witty invention. I'll bring you an idea that causes something to be created that will cause literally millions to come into your hands, because through your hands, you will be one of my vessels that I can use to further establish my covenant in the earth and extend my kingdom.
Hallelujah.
And so for those who have been challenged in any way in the honoring of the tithe, I want to pray for you right now. Father, I want to thank you right now. God, any of us, all of us at one time or another needed revelation concerning the giving of tithes and offerings. And Father, in some ways, all of us can testify of anxiety around life's concerns and life's demands and thinking that we need to do something else with these resources. Father, I pray for those that have been in that space, and I thank you right now that you're freeing them up, and I thank you that you're causing their faith to move to a new level that will cause them, God, to honor you with that tithe, knowing that you are the giver of it all. And I thank you, Lord, that it's in this season that you're helping all of us to recognize that it's not our employer who is our portion and our source. It's you. When we choose to acknowledge you in our giving of our tithes and offerings, as we choose to put you first, we are acknowledging to you that you are our source, and we know that you are the one who will continue to bring increase into our lives. We will honor you. We will steward well what you bring to us.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name. If you agree with that prayer, would you shout amen?
Amen.